You know, God created us as an expression of his love. His most marvelous creation was humankind. And he created us to reflect his very own image and his likeness. You know, the glory of God rested upon humanity. In a very real sense, he became a father to his creation of sons and daughters. You see, this was his design, that he would breathe his life into us and he would be in relationship with his glorious children. He would walk in perfect intimacy, our all-loving Father. However, Adam rebelled. He rebelled against God's best for him. He doubted God's intentions. He took control of his own volition and he enacted a disobedience that has echoed on throughout generations. In that moment, he lost for the human race the state of being in the image and likeness of God. Since that defiance of God and the glorification of self-will, we have all been imputed with the sin nature, a sin nature that brings death. Adam's sin infected the whole human race. By our descent from him, he transmitted his own damnation to all of us. And by inheritance, we became children of wrath, meaning that sin, the lust of the flesh, unbelief, it was all given to us, it was imputed to us in our nature, a nature that's common to all men and women. Every person, therefore, their status, their position is in Adam until we receive a new status, a new position in Christ. Every person lives under the curse associated with falling short of the unattainable law. And under the oppressive regime of Satan and his demonic hosts until we receive the loving gift of Jesus. See, Adam and Eve found themselves as the first prisoners of an ancient war. And every one of their children and their children's children were born into a prisoner of war camp. You and I were born prisoners to sin and death. You were slaves to sin, Paul says. And his word for sin is a noun. So sin is an entity. It's a villain. It's a tyrant. The greatest need that we have ever had since is for freedom. To be set free from the tyrant of sin and death. Truly and utterly, we have been hopeless at trying to save ourselves. There's nothing that humanity has ever done or could ever do that would atone for our sin and set us free. You know, some define sin as transgression against God's law. You may have heard, oh, if I could just keep the rules, if we could just keep the commandments, you probably heard that as some sort of answer. But Jesus was so often pointing out that even some of the most devout followers of the law were just hypocrites. He called them whitewashed tombs, that they'd painted the walls of the grave clean, but the stench of death was still in them. The paint was only ever superficial at best. It merely covered up and masked the reality which couldn't be washed away by good deeds. He revealed to them that the law did not require faith and it could not set them free. Galatians says that to live under the law is a kind of sin itself. And in Romans, Paul says that the law does not define sin. It just simply is a mirror that points it out in our lives. Some define sin as immoral behavior. But this is not exactly how Scripture defines it. You see, what you misdiagnose, you mistreat. If you define sin as law-breaking, you'll think that the remedy is law-keeping. But if you live according to the law, you are just walking after the flesh. It will never set you free. You're still just a prisoner of war, trying to earn your own freedom. The original verb for sin means to miss the mark and not share in the prize. So what's the mark? What are we supposed to hit? What's the prize? Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have fallen short of the glorious life God intended for us. Fallen from His original creative intent that we would bear His image and His likeness as Christ did in His humanity. And regardless of whether you're doing good things or bad things, as long as we're walking in Adam, we're the walking dead, following after the flesh, we're falling short of the life God has for us. Good sinner or bad sinner. Until we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus at the cross of exchange and we receive His gracious gift. We receive the gift of His life by faith. The sinful life of slavery is what we have, and the glorious life of freedom is what He offers. That the Father of this world would long so to restore His children. He instigated a redemptive rescue mission for you and I. And Jesus lived a perfect life. He paid the debt of death that He did not owe, as a punishment for sin that He did not commit, to conquer a death that He was not subject to. His saving work accomplished a divine reversal of Adam's disobedience by His perfect obedience. See, God didn't hate us. He's never rejected us. He doesn't bear a grudge against us. Instead, His loving kindness has been patient and forbearing. In His mercy, He took upon Himself our own sin. God Himself gave His own Son as a ransom for us. The pure, holy one for the immoral, lawless. The guiltless one for the guilty. The immortal one for the mortal. For who else but Jesus could have taken away our sins? Oh, the sweet exchange, the incomprehensible work of God, the unexpected blessing, that the sinfulness of all would be wiped spotless and clean in Jesus. It says that greater love has no man that he would lay down his life for another. A greater love had no creator that he would voluntarily die at the hands of his own creation for their very sake. Do you know that scripture says that Jesus not only forgave our sins, but he broke the power of sin, the power of that tyranny over us. He disarmed Satan. He disarmed the demonic. He ransomed us from the clutches of death. He freed us from the curse of the law. And he rescued us from the harrowing of hell. Jesus went low that we would be made high. He went low. He went to the point of disgrace, dishonor, humiliation, rejection, abandonment, betrayal. The precious and most beautiful one gave us his glory. That which we could never deserve. That which we could never earn. This is his grace, my friends. That God died at your hands for you, that you may live his life. That he would abide in you. Jesus' death is the greatest expression of love that can and will ever exist. He is the very personification of love, the direct manifestation of the Father's loving pursuit of his children. His love is perfect. It's unconditional. It's unwavering. It says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Christ's perfect love gave us his life. Oh, what a gift. What love is this? All praise and honor to God. My question this morning is, do you know him? Have you accepted what Jesus has done on your behalf? It's already done. His work is already complete. It's already finished. He offered himself as a free gift for you. Have you received him? You know, it's by placing your faith in him that sets you free. Why don't we bow our heads together this morning? Just settle our hearts, still our hearts before him. Just have a moment of privacy. Do you need to receive his life this morning? If you need freedom, I just want you to place your hand up in the air, just to acknowledge it before him. Lord, we need your freedom in our lives. Thank you. You can put those hands down. If you put your hand up this morning, I'd love if you would pray a prayer. Let's all pray this prayer together. It says, you know, it says in Romans 10:9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. It's by believing in your heart that you were made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So let's pray together. I'm going to pray a line and you repeat after me. Father God, I need you in my life. I know I've sinned and I cannot save myself. I'm sorry, please forgive me. I accept your death as a ransom for my life. I receive your gift of salvation. Would you cleanse me and make me your child? Set me free. I open my heart to your love. And by faith, I confess you as my Lord and Savior.